I'm walking on Petersburg's Three Lakes Trail, a 4.5-mile loop that takes hikers through some of Mikhof Island's most picturesque muskegon forest. With me are about a dozen tourism operators from all over the lower 48 and other countries. This is the last day of their whirlwind trip around central southeast Alaska, which has so far taken them to Prince of Wales Island and Wrangell. Today they're concentrating on what Petersburg has to offer. This is just the sort of experience that Claude-Jean Arel, a Canadian operator based in Saskatchewan, was looking for when he came out to central southeast. Arel's Great Excursions company sells alternative trips to off-the-beaten-path locations.
It's a wonderful region of the world. It's very rich culturally, gastronomically, in terms of tourism experiences.
Although Arel likes to talk about the region's strengths, he's also quick to point out that one of the greatest hurdles to tourism development in central southeast Alaska is the lack of brand identification. Many people simply don't think of the region as its own destination. Rather, if they are interested in coming to central southeast, it's as one stop on a tour of the entire state.
There are a number of factors that make it easier or more difficult to bring people from other parts of the world to Southeast Alaska. The destination's visibility as a brand, as a place that competes with other destinations around the world. There may be other destinations that have a higher profile.
Arel says that when people hear the name Alaska, it automatically conjures up images traditionally associated with the state. Vast snow-covered plains, sled dogs, and below-freezing temperatures are just some of the stereotypes of Alaska. Obviously, Southeast is a very different world from Nome, but in order for customers in Florida or Michigan or even Toronto to understand just how different it is, Arel recommends a more aggressive marketing strategy, one that emphasizes the activities and the character that the area has to offer.
And the way for Southeast Alaska to come out, to emerge, and to be more competitive, if you want, on the world scale, is really to tap into that sense of place and to formulate some stories that will resonate with the consumers, that are distinctive, that are relevant, and that are inspired by that sense of place.
Local vendors have already recognized this need to rebrand Central Southeast, and so with assistance from state and regional governments, they've come up with a new name, Alaska Rainforest Islands. When operators like Arel return home, they will not only have the experiences from this trip to better sell the region, they'll also have the Alaska Rainforest Island brand, something that area operators hope will emphasize the region's uniqueness.
We're looking at some snow-covered peaks on the Canadian border over there with some gnarled trees on the lush muskeg.
That's Brenda Spivey, a representative from Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines agreed to fly these operators to Southeast from places as far away as Taiwan, because according to Spivey, the airline recognizes the potential for tourism if local and outside operators make connections. As an employee for the airline, however, Spivey also knows all too well one of the biggest problems facing tourism in central Southeast Alaska: transportation.
You know, gosh, it costs as much to go from Wrangell to Ketchikan as it does to Seattle to New York.
To cut down on costs and make planning trips easier for tourists, Spivey and many of the operators I spoke with were in favor of establishing a packaging system that combines the services of a variety of local vendors.
There's a lot of very independent, entrepreneurial operators in Alaska that all have fabulous product and know what they have. They know they have diamonds in the rough. But in the big wide world of tourism, a lot of times when they package, you can get much more of an experience or a value when you put all the elements together and go through an operator, such as Viking Tours out of Petersburg, or, you know, any of the operators that we have here today. That's where we fit in, is we contract with some of these operators and we feed them airfares that are stable and accountable and available inventory, so they can take the product that they've seen here in the last week, marry it with the airfare, marry it with the ground transportation, and make it a more seamless experience for people that come from New Jersey and have no idea how to get to this beautiful Sand Crane Lake that we're standing in front of today.
Shortly after stopping at the lake, we make our way down to Ideal Cove to meet Scott Roberge, a local vendor who owns Tongass Kayak Adventures. After walking through the pop kelp and onto the boat, the group heads off to see perhaps Petersburg's most awe-inspiring attraction, Lecompte Glacier. As soon as we reach the mouth of the bay, we can see some of the large chunks of intensely blue ice that have fallen off the glacier. Roberge has asked a common question that's often on the mind of anyone who sees the glacier for the first time.
So why is the color so blue again in the water?
Okay, the color spectrum, right, is right. Made up of all kinds of different colors.
Right.
Well, blue is the only one in the crystal structure of the ice that's reflected back to us.
Despite incredible attractions like LeConte, these days Southeast tour operators are facing hard times. Increasing oil prices and the national recession have driven up costs and driven out customers. Dave Berg, the owner of Petersburg's only travel company, Viking Travel, said that one way for operators to save costs is by coordinating itineraries and working together on incentives like guaranteed departures.
You can't really second guess what the Marine Highway is going to do a year in advance. That the operators need to have to be able to plan trips. So one thing is these guaranteed departures where you get an operator that will set aside a couple of seats until he has two names.
Large cruise ships tend to dominate Alaska's tourism industry, but smaller cruise lines and charter operators like those in Petersburg say they can offer a more unique experience with smaller groups of passengers. Dave Blanchard is the owner of Intersea Discoveries.
Just by nature of those small groups, we're able to have a much more experiential cruise. And so we don't, port calls aren't really a big thing for us. We're much more into just what we're experiencing right now, cruising slow by massive glaciers and icebergs.
Blanchard says the sudden and overwhelming influx of tourists to a small southeast town undermines the quality of tourism he hopes to promote. Take Skagway, for example.
This little tiny town that will get five ships in, and you can't even walk on the sidewalks because there's just so many people. And then the cruise lines have to come up with activities to keep these people busy that oftentimes have nothing to do with Alaska. They're just, very not authentic Alaska. So it's just not the kind of tourism that we as small operators believe is represents the city.
All of the local operators I spoke with are interested in making Alaska's rainforest islands more travel-friendly for visitors. And they're hopeful the discussions and new connections will ultimately lead to more business. But all of the operators, including the outside ones, stress that the area's authenticity is rooted in its remoteness. They agree that too many tourists would undermine that key quality and keep away the type of independent, active travelers that the operators want to attract. In Petersburg, I'm Alex Hotz.